Let us commence our services today by singing together hymn number 515. The tune is Ephraim 463. Holy Ghost, we look to thee, raise the dead, the captive free, from the mighty take the prey, teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 32. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. A vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor, with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitudes of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst graciously be with us this day, and that thou wouldst help us now to approach thy great and thy glorious majesty. Thy word declares unto us, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Thou art the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And from everlasting to everlasting thou art God, and thou wilt not at all acquit the guilty, Oh, but we come to thee, most gracious Lord, poor, wretched, ruined, helpless, hopeless sinners. No help in self I find, yet oft have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. And Lord, we feel the defilement of our sin. And we come like thy servant Ezra of old. I blush before thee, O God. And so we do, O Lord. We're ashamed of ourselves, of our sinfulness, of our wretchedness. In spite of all thy love, mercy and grace, sins against a holy God, sins against his love and blood, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. So we come to thee in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the only way that we can come to thee. We thank thee for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we think of the words of the dear apostle, for through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, that we may be enabled to come in all our need, in all our insufficiency and poverty, and to draw near to thee. We read in Holy Scripture concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer is strong. Oh, we do thank thee that he is mighty to save, mighty to redeem, and that the work is done, it's accomplished, it's fulfilled. And that we do desire, most gracious Lord, to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And Lord, it is a time of need. We need that precious mercy that is in Christ Jesus. We need light and understanding in thy word. We need thee to come and open our hearts and our ears and our eyes, that we might receive the word of the Lord. We need thee to come and make us spiritually minded and to set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, that we may truly feel, even this day, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. O Lord, we do pray that we may have a glimpse of Christ today, that we may touch the hem of his garment, that we may draw from that sacred virtue that is in him, the virtue of his precious blood, the virtue of his glorious righteousness, the virtue of his almighty power, whereby he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Oh, most gracious Lord, we do plead what he has done, and we do plead that we may know and feel and experience today those precious words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, to feel him in our hearts, and to worship him, and to embrace him in the arms of living faith, and to be enabled to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Oh, most gracious God, do grant that it may be so, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. Lord, may it be so even this day, for thy great name's sake. Lord, we pray that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. Thou knowest the various responsibilities that devolve upon them, both here and among the churches of God. And we do pray that thou wouldst gird them with all sufficient grace and give wisdom and guidance and direction in all matters. We do humbly pray thee. We pray that thou wouldst keep us together, pastor, deacons, church, congregation. Keep us together in the spirit of love, union and communion, that we may love each other, that we may serve each other, that we may bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. O most gracious Lord, we pray that we may live like the Lord Jesus. O for a closer walk with thee, a calmer heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, to live closer to him and to hear his voice and to have a heart tender in the fear of the Lord. We pray that we may not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, but that we may know thy delivering grace. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that they may be blessed with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus, that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, may be granted unto them in their young and in their tender years, and that they may be preserved from all evil. We pray for Millie as she goes for a consultation this week, and we pray that thou wouldst grant thy gracious guiding hand, and that thou wouldst richly bless her for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless the young friends as they're upon the threshold of life journey. Help them, lead them, guide them, bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. Grant that they may see that he is the one thing needful. Grant that thy word may sound in their hearts. Be ye also ready, for at such a time as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Gracious God, so bless our young friends. Guide them in all the matters of life's journey, and teach them thy ways, and lead them in thy paths, and grant that thy word may be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Guide and direct them regarding a partner in life's journey. We do humbly beseech thee. And that we pray for each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, that thou wouldst graciously be with each one of us, that thou wouldst preserve us from the work and the power of Satan. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, may the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. O Lord, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Come and preserve us. Deliver us from temptation. Dear Lord Jesus, we do beseech thee. And thou hast said in thy word that thou art able to make a way of escape in that path of temptation. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that whether the enemy comes as an angel of light to deceive us, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour us, we pray that we may be delivered from his power. We seek, most gracious Lord, to be made more spiritually minded, and our heart and our affection set upon things above, not on things of the earth. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst graciously bless and undertake for those in the evening time of life's journey, and put the arms of thine everlasting love around them, and grant them thy divine support and blessing and help for thy great name's sake. That we pray, most gracious Lord, for all in affliction, trouble and trial and perplexity and bereavement, that thou wouldst support them, sustain them, strengthen them, help them for thy great name's sake. Be Jehovah Rophi, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That we think of Nick Pont at Tunbridge Wells in hospital, and we lovingly commend him to thee and to the word of thy grace, and pray that thou wouldst grant thy divine support and blessing and help and strength unto him and his dear one at this time. We do humbly beseech thee. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst remember all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine, upon the walls of Zion. We feel, O Lord, a debt of gratitude and thanksgiving unto Thee, that in these past 2 years Thou hast sent forth a good number of young men to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a great favour that is, O Lord. Thou hast heard and answered prayer. And we pray Thee, the Lord of the harvest, that Thou wouldst yet send true labourers into the harvest, and that Thou wouldst yet return to Jerusalem with mercies, and yet make bare Thine holy arm in the gospel. O most gracious Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst hear us and remember Thy Zion. We live in dark days, days of great declension, days when the love of many waxes cold, days when there is a withholding of the Spirit's power in our assemblies. And Lord, is there not a cause? And may we lay it to heart, and may we be brought in real repentance and godly sorrow for sin, and turn from the ways of this world, and have a closer walk with Thee. Lord, so bless the churches, and so bless each one of Thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine. Some of Thy servants, O Lord, are in affliction's pathway, and we lovingly commend them to Thee and to the word of Thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Lord, we do pray that Thou in Thy great mercy would remember this village, and also remember the prodigals, those that have gone out from us, that have no desire to meet with us. Cause them to be in one. Thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Indeed, O Lord, Thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Oh, that we might have that rejoicing here, to see the prodigals return, to see Thine arm made bare in the gospel, to see precious souls quickened into life, brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and brought to run in the way of Thy holy commandments, and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ in that way that is appointed in the gospel. Lord, so bless us as a church, as a congregation, and from this village and the villages that surround us, gather in precious souls, pull down the strongholds of Satan, set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Lord mighty, let Thy gospel be. Set the burdened sinner free. Arise, arise, O God of grace, into Thy rest descend, Thou in the ark of Thy strength, and let Thy priests be clothed with salvation, and Thy saints shall shout aloud for joy. Thou hast promised, O Lord, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Let Thy hand be upon the man of Thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom Thou madest strong for Thyself. So will not we go back from Thee. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst bless the churches up and down our nation, where Thy servants stand, where Thy people gather. Pour out Thy Spirit. Return to Jerusalem with mercies. We do humbly beseech Thee. Thou still hast a remnant, even in this nation. And Thou dost still hear and answer prayer for our nation. And we would render thanksgiving unto Thee that it is so. That we have a God that does hear, and a God that does answer prayer, and a God who can do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Oh, we do bless Thee. For the God of all grace, we do pray, most gracious and merciful Lord God, that Thou wouldst remember at Thy church throughout the nations of the earth, especially, Lord, in places like China and North Korea and in the Middle East, where the name of Christ is hated, where Thy people are persecuted, tormented, imprisoned, and lose their life for the name and the witness of Jesus Christ. Oh, Thou great God, do hear us in heaven, Thy holy dwelling place, on their behalf, and send real prosperity there, and preserve and keep thy people faithful unto thee, faithful unto death. Lord, preserve each one of us for thy great name's sake. And we pray, dear Lord, for Ian Sadler as he travels in different places in Burma and India and Africa, that thou would give him good success. We pray for James and San in the Mombasa mission, that they may be strengthened and helped, and that there may be signs to follow the preaching of the word, and that they may be able to help in the spirit and love of Christ in that district, help those that are so worse off than what we are and live in such poverty. Lord, do hear us, we pray thee, and remember thy people everywhere. Hear us as a nation. Give wisdom and guidance and direction unto our leaders, and that graciously go before them, show them what thy way is, and turn us away from the ways of wickedness and evil and unrighteousness. For Lord, the spirit and power of Antichrist is so prevalent in the day in which we live, and we pray that thou wouldst arise, and that thou wouldst make bare thine holy arm, even amidst our senators, and give them wisdom and understanding, and bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, we pray for our beloved Queen in her great age, and her consort, and all the royal household. Oh, that thou wouldst bless them indeed. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bring them, O Lord, to saving faith in the King of Kings, and in the Lord of Lords, in the mighty God, we do humbly beseech of thee. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst hearken. We thank thee for every favour, for every blessing. We thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We pray for our dear beloved friends here with us today from Holland. Thank thee for giving them a safe journey. Pray that our souls may be fed as we gather together around the word of God, and as we gather together around the table of the Lord, and as we gather together on Tuesday as a church. Oh, that we might feel thy presence and thy blessing and thy favour upon us for thy great name's sake. We do thank thee for that spirit of love and union and communion that thou was given to us, and preserve us from doing the work of the enemy, from separating the brethren and causing division, but help us to truly love each other, serve each other, and bear each other's burdens. Lord, we thank thee for the wonderful glory, the sacred glory of the incarnation of the Son of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We thank thee for the holy life the Son of God lived here upon earth as a man. We thank thee for the holy law he has fulfilled and honoured and magnified. And we thank thee that in that fulfilling of the law and the magnifying of the law, the Son of God has brought in everlasting righteousness. Oh, we do thank thee for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that glorious heavenly dress. We thank thee for the holy and most precious sacrifice, sufferings and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we do bless thee that sin has been put away, that divine justice has been satisfied in that glorious sacrifice. We thank thee for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has swallowed up death in victory. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we do bless thee that he has ascended into heaven, and he now sits at thy right hand. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens. Fill our hearts with gratitude and thanksgiving for the wonderful glory of our advocate with the Father. Come now, Lord, and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 1028. The tune is Heather Lee, 345. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, or direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 32. And we'll read for our text, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. What an important word. How true, how relevant, whether personally, in our own personal spiritual experience, or circumstances that we're found in, or in the church of God and collectively as a church and as a congregation. This word is so relevant in the day in which we live. We live in a day of small things. The Lord hasn't left us. The Lord still blesses us. And we can say that as a church and congregation. And we still feel his presence in the sanctuary. And from time to time we feel the savour of his love in our hearts. And we would be very thankful for that. But how we long for outpouring of the Spirit of God. Just as it says in our text, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And we have to wait for that. Before we come more closely to the text, I want to just note, the old Puritans used to call it the gospel according to Isaiah. Because the prophecy of Isaiah is so full of sacred and beautiful prophecies concerning our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And right in the commencement of this chapter 32, that we have it there. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's prophesying of his coming. And he came as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet he's king, a mighty king, an almighty king. Indeed, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. You think of the princes in the church, and you think of the men that have been raised up since the time of Christ in the church. Mighty men of God, mighty in the scriptures. We can go right the way back. You think of the apostles and how mighty they were in the scriptures. You think of the early church fathers and how mightily they stood for the truth of God. You think of the reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others that stood for the truth of God, the truth of the gospel of our Lord and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. They fought great battles against Antichrist. And the most prevalent form of Antichrist in their days of the Reformation was the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope of Rome, who proclaimed that they had authority over all men and all men must submit to them. And they still do claim that, and that he is the vicar of Christ on earth. The reformers, that's exactly what they had to do. They had to reform the church at that time, under the power of the Holy Ghost. And we see in their days how the Spirit was poured out from on high. You read it in the conversion of Martin Luther. You read it in the life of Martin Luther. How that mighty man of God stood before all men. He stood before the Pope and all the powers of the earth at that time. And he spoke of the Holy Scriptures. And he said, "Here I stand. I can stand in no other place than what the Holy Scriptures teach." And he was mighty in the Holy Scriptures of truth. but the Spirit was poured out from on high upon him and upon those that heard him preach, you see. And we see the Lord Jesus reigning there in his church. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Men like Martin Luther, they're princes in the church. Men like John Calvin, they were such mighty men of God, mighty in the scriptures. Men like Dr. John Owen, they were men so great in the firmament of the church, they could be called princes. Behold, a king, Christ shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man. What a wonderful word, isn't it? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and a man shall be in hiding place. What a hiding place is Jesus Christ unto his people. This glorious, holy God-man, the hiding place of his people, his precious blood, the refuge of his people, his glorious righteousness, the refuge and hiding place of his people. When they feel their wretchedness and their sinfulness and their undone condition, when they have to say, I am all unrighteousness, and then, oh, to have revealed unto us. You see, it's when the Spirit is poured out from on high and then is revealed unto us. Now, we know that in a personal way, in our own hearts, when Christ is made precious and the darkness is turned to light, and the bondage is turned to liberty. And when we're so far off, we're then made nigh. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. He hath made one. That's what Christ has done. And that's what he does with the poor sinner. He makes one. A man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. You think of the Spirit being poured out from on high as rivers as water in a dry place. That's what, when the Spirit is poured out, it's like living water in the wilderness. That's why it speaks as it does in our text. And it says here in the prophecy of Isaiah that the desert shall blossom as the rose when the Spirit is poured out from on high. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, in the wilderness, with the midday sun beating down, what a covert, what a shadow, what a place of rest is a great rock. You could go in the shadow of it, away from the midnight sun. You know, that midnight sun, that midday sun, we can think of the times of temptation. The midday sun. And when the sun beats down, and the weary traveller, and the enemy comes in like a flood with his temptations, and the poor, weary traveller, he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't know which way to turn, he's nigh fainting for thirst. He doesn't know how to continue. He doesn't know how to go on. But here, this glorious man has rivers of water. But it's connected with our text. When the Spirit is poured out from on high, we cannot see Christ. We cannot view him unless he's revealed to us. And when the Spirit reveals Christ, and Christ is made precious, Christ then becomes to your soul a living, bright reality. As the shadow of a great rock. When you hear the thunders of Mount Sinai, and the soul that sinneth it shall die, and cursed is every man that doeth not all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, what a What a weary road that is. The way of the transgressor is hard, and you feel it to be so. Lord, I'm such a sinner. I'm so defiled. I'm so wretched. I'm so undone. I find that I'm helpless. I've got no help in myself. But then when Christ is revealed, when you're raised up to a hope in the glorious person of Jesus Christ, then he becomes as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And then, you see, as it was in the days of Christ, the eyes of the blind were opened. And so we read here in verse 3, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And that's speaking of those whose eyes and ears are opened by the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit is poured out from on high, their eyes and ears are open to their lost condition, their wretched condition, their hopeless condition. And the same Spirit that convicts them of their sin opens their eyes to see that there is a way. There's a who can tell that the Lord may be gracious? Who can tell that he will turn again and have mercy even upon me? And that little who can tell that is raised up in your heart, and you keep pressing on and you keep pressing forward. Lord, help me. Lord, shine into my heart. Lord, send deliverance into my soul. Deliver me from this bondage. Deliver me from this darkness. And so the light begins to dawn in your soul, the light of the gospel. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He rises like the sun rising on the dawning of another day. When the dayspring on high appears. And the other effect here in verse 4 of the gospel, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. You see, my beloved friends, what a wonderful thing when the Spirit is poured out from on high. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. You know, friends, nothing can be done. Whether personally, our own hearts, in our own circumstances, in the church of God, nothing can be done without the Holy Ghost. How vital is the work and the person of the Holy Ghost. We read in Holy Scripture, he shall not speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself. What does he speak of? Jesus. When the Spirit is poured out from on high. When he convicts and convinces a poor, wretched, ruined sinner of his lost condition. And then he works faith in that poor sinner's heart. And a hope is raised up in their heart. That there is a way of escape. There is a way of deliverance. A door of hope is opened wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and side. When the Spirit is poured out from on high. When Christ is revealed. Now, let us look for a moment. We must look at the doctrine of truth. And that is how our hearts are established in the truth. When we look at the doctrine of truth, and the Holy Ghost makes it a living word in our hearts, and we're instructed in the way of righteousness. In the 14th chapter of John, indeed in the 14th, 15th and 16th chapters of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus, he gives us much teaching on the person and work of the Holy Ghost. And in John 14, verse 16, we read, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Notice it's a capital C, because the Holy Ghost is a divine person. "And he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." I will not leave you comfortless. So the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. He brings comfort and consolation into the hearts of the Lord's living family. You know, and we read here in chapter 15 of John, and in the 26th verse again, the Lord Jesus is instructing us, but when the Comforter is come, just think of our text, until the Spirit be poured out from on high, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's the divine. That's how he brings comfort, living comfort, into the heart of the living child of God. It's when he reveals Jesus. He testifies with divine power in the heart of a poor sinner that Jesus is the way to God, that Jesus is the way to bliss. That's what he testifies in the heart. And he shall, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He shall testify of me. What a wonderful thing to have that testimony in our hearts. And then if we look at the 16th chapter, and the very purpose of these three chapters was to instruct the disciples, the apostles of Christ, in the doctrine of truth, because Christ was just about to leave them. And he promises them the Holy Ghost. And so we read in chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," you see, until the Spirit be poured out from on high, "and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That's what the Holy Ghost does when he enters into a sinner's heart. And this is so vital, my beloved friends, that the Holy Ghost enters into your heart. There's no spiritual life without it. You must be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, sinner, have you been born again of the Holy Ghost? Have you been brought from spiritual death into spiritual life? Have you been awakened to your lost condition? Do you feel and know yourself to be a poor, ruined sinner, a poor, undone sinner? Do you labour? Are you burdened under such a solemn sense of your sinfulness and your wretchedness and your hopelessness? And the Lord Jesus, he speaks wonderful words of grace unto such sinners. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." In other words, be united to Christ, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. The saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. That is where our salvation is, in union with the Lamb. When the Holy Ghost brings you to living faith in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Ghost reproves you of sin, and he speaks to you of righteousness, that God is righteous and pure and holy altogether, and you feel through the Holy Spirit's teaching that you are unrighteous and of judgment, the day of judgment. And the Holy Ghost, he says, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so, where the Holy Spirit has given life, when the Spirit has been poured out from on high and comes into the heart of a poor, needy, wretched sinner who was dead in trespasses and in sins, but through the Holy Ghost they're raised from spiritual death into spiritual life, and they're brought to see and to feel their lost condition, their wretched condition. That cannot happen until the Spirit is poured out from on high. There are some that teach that there is no life in the soul until Christ has been revealed. My beloved friends, that is not consistent with the true doctrine of truth in Holy Scripture. A person who is truly born again and under conviction of sin, they have life. And they wouldn't know that they were a sinner if they didn't have life. They've been regenerated. And the only reason that you truly feel your sinnership and your wretchedness is because the Holy Spirit has quickened your soul. Now that same blessed Spirit that quickens your soul goes on here in John 16. And it says in verse 13, howbeit when he... Now we ought to just pause there. Howbeit when he... Notice, he is a divine person. He, that's how you speak of a person. You say he or her, and you're talking of a person. And so when the Lord Jesus uses this language, when he's speaking of a divine person, the divine person of the Holy Ghost. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You see, my beloved friends, this glorious person and this divine work of the Holy Ghost. How essential was the work of the Holy Ghost in the economy of grace, in that eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure? It was that glorious divine person of the Holy Ghost in that sacred covenant, the everlasting covenant, made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark this. The first covenant was made between God and Israel. And in it is the holy law of God, the tables of the covenant. It was a covenant of works. And it utterly failed on man's part because he is utterly unable to fulfill the demands of the covenant of the law. That was made between God and man. The eternal covenant was made in the Godhead, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, he chose a people from the ruins of the Adam fall, and that people that he chose, he gave to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem. So he was appointed the Redeemer of the Lord's people. And it was appointed for him that he would come here upon earth. He would live as a man in the room and the place and the stead of his children. He would fulfill and honour and magnify that holy righteous law. That man, because of their fallen, utterly fallen condition, it's impossible for them to do it. We go forth from the womb speaking lies and hypocrisy. The Lord said to Noah when he came out of the ark, for I know that the heart of man is evil. The imaginations of the heart of man is evil continually. God knows that. And because of the fall in Adam, we're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. And that's our state, and that's our condition by nature, until the Spirit be poured out from on high. Until the Holy Ghost enters your heart, quickens your soul, shows you your lost condition, and causes you by his divine power and favour in your soul to flee unto Jesus Christ. He works faith in your heart. He works repentance in your heart. He works humility in your heart. That's the divine work of the Spirit of God. We cannot produce any of those graces ourselves. They are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost in our hearts, and we need the Holy Ghost to give us real faith, real repentance, godly sorrow for sin, humility, love. These are all the graces of the Spirit, and this is what he works. By this shall they know that ye are the children of God, because ye have love. Love one to another. It's a wonderful thing, my beloved friends, when the Lord blesses us in Zion with that true spiritual love. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Until the Spirit be poured out from on high, that divine and blessed work of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the economy of grace and in the divine decrees of the Lord, we find that the Lord said unto the disciples after his resurrection and just before he ascended into glory, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the 8th verse, we read, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things which they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him up out of their sight. And so if we continue looking in the first chapter of the Acts, and rather in the second chapter of the Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all filled with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, my beloved friend, how vital then is the work of the Holy Ghost until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. You know, there's an old English saying, isn't it? It comes from a maritime illustration. In the doldrums. Now, I understand that the ships used to go down past the west coast of Africa, and there are places down there where you get no wind, and a sailing ship, it just stagnated. And sometimes they would literally be there for weeks. And in sailors' terms, that was called the doldrums. They were completely held up. Now, you look at that in a spiritual light. We can get into the doldrums spiritually so that we stagnate. We're not going forward, not continuing. How we need the wind of the Spirit to blow. The wind of the Spirit. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south and blow upon my garden that the spices may flow forth. The wind of the Spirit blowing upon the garden of the church that the spices might flow forth. And so, spiritually, individually, we can get into the doldrums. And collectively, as a church and as a congregation, we can get into the doldrums. Where we don't seem to be making any progress. There doesn't seem to be anything going on. How we need the Spirit to be poured out from on high. How we need, my beloved friends, to wrestle with God for his Spirit, that he would grant unto us his Spirit, that he would pour forth the Spirit in the ministry of the word. You know, the ministry of the word is absolutely completely useless without the power of the Holy Ghost. The word of God is a letter, just the letter of God's truth. You can receive it, you can read it. There are professors in our university that know it in the original language. They know it from back to front and inside out. With no grace in their hearts. They know nothing of the living power of the living word of God in the heart. And that is what is so vital and so essential. How we need the Lord upon us as a church and congregation to plead with him for the Holy Ghost. And to plead for what we have in our text until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. What will happen when the Spirit is poured upon us? Well, for one thing, the preacher will be given great liberty in preaching. And in that preaching, there will be power. Just as the apostle, he says in one of his epistles, and I think it's the epistle to the Thessalonians, "For our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance." Oh, how we need to wrestle with the Lord that he might grant this. Maybe there's a poor sinner here that has been perhaps many months, many, many months, and you're in darkness. You're in bondage. You're like that man that we read of in John chapter 9, who was born blind. And then the Lord opened his eyes. The Lord Jesus opened his eyes. And the Pharisees, trying to disprove that he had been blind and that this wonderful miracle was wrought, that they began to question what was done. And you know, when eventually they got this man and he said, "This one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see." Can you say that? "One thing I know. I was blind. I used to come backwards and forwards to chapel, like the door upon its hinges, blind, unfeeling, unconcerned. But this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I see I have the need of a Saviour. Now I see that I'm a sinner. Now I know that I'm undone. Now I feel so empty and so poverty stricken. Now I feel darkness. Now I feel bondage." Why do you feel that? It's the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you this, my beloved friends. You will not be satisfied with that condition. You will not be satisfied until Christ has been revealed. The Holy Spirit will not leave you to be satisfied. I think it's Joseph Hart in one of his hymns. He says, "The drowning man is not saved by sinking." You can see exactly what he means. And the person under conviction of sin is not saved because they're convinced of sin. They long to be delivered from sin. They long to be delivered from its power. They long to be delivered from that darkness and that bondage that they're in. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And then as it says in the text, "And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace." What righteousness? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. "I am all unrighteousness." That's the cry of every born again sinner. And what the Spirit does, he leads that poor sinner to Christ. And he sees in Christ strength and righteousness. The blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. And when this is revealed, it says here, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." Peace by his cross has Jesus made the church's ever living head. "The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord." I've often told you of that occasion when the Lord so blessed me, and it was really the words of a hymn that expressed the very feelings of my heart. I'm blessed, forever blessed. My rags are gone, and I am dressed in garments white as snow. Friends, oh, the sacredness of that occasion. I looked for my sins. They could not be found. I was clothed in the everlasting righteousness of Christ, washed in the precious blood of Christ, complete in him. And that's where I was. And that is what I experienced at that time. Why? Because the Spirit was poured out from on high. And it brings deliverance into your heart. Every spiritual deliverance that you have, whether it's a small one or whether it's a great one, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. You know, friends, when this true doctrine truly enters into our hearts, it will bring you to love the Holy Ghost. You'll love His glorious person. Oh, when the Lord brought me into gospel liberty and in a little chestnut copse over near Forest Fold Chapel, I knelt down before the Lord so overwhelmed as I went about my daily work, overwhelmed with a sense of the Lord's favour, like Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord. I went into this little chestnut copse and I knelt down before the Lord. There was nothing visionary. I was on my knees with my eyes closed, but it was as if a light shone all the way around me. And I felt the love of my Heavenly Father. Oh, His love filled my heart. It was He that had chosen me from the ruins of the Adam fall. And it was He that gave me to Christ. And then my heart was so filled with love to Christ. It was He that left the bosom of His Father for me, came upon this sin-cursed world, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. What a love I felt to my Lord Jesus, for that everlasting love that He had to me. And then, oh, I had such a love to the Holy Ghost. I looked back to the time when He quickened my soul, when He convicted and convinced me of my sin, and when He led me unto Jesus Christ and revealed Him unto me, and Christ was made so precious to me. His love was shed abroad in my heart. Oh, friends, I felt such a love to the Holy Ghost. But you know, the overarching sense and experience that I had at that time, these three are one. This is that one. Glorious Lord Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. And on Thursday evening we were here in Isaiah, in that 34th chapter. Seek ye out the book of the Lord, it says in verse 16, and then it goes on in the verse 35, chapter 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The wilderness is this world. And glad for who? For the Lord's living family, when they're born again, when they're brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ, when the Spirit is poured out from on high, when they're gathered together as a church, when they feel love and union one toward another. It's because the Spirit has been poured out from on high. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. This is unto the church of God. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And when the glory of the Lord, that is the glory of Christ, is revealed, the glory of His redeeming love, the glory of His everlasting salvation, when that is revealed, and then in this chapter 35 and verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the dwelling places of the Most High. That's the river of the divine Spirit. That is the river of the everlasting love of God that is poured into the church of God, that is known and felt and handled and tasted in the heart, in the soul of the living family of God. Oh, my beloved friends, may it give us, each one of us, a yearning to know this power and person and love and grace of the Holy Ghost, because it's Him that takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto you. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. You know, sometimes you may look at the church of God, you may see the declension, the falling away, the lack of numbers, and houses of God, as it were, closing. And you get so cast down, you get so burdened, you wonder wherever the scene is going to end. Well, this is the door of hope. We need the Spirit to be poured upon us from on high. Oh, that the Lord will give us that grace to wrestle with Him, that we may see the work of the Blessed Spirit. Feel it in our own hearts, experience it in our own souls, see it in the church of God, see it in the bringing forth of precious sinners, see it when the Spirit is poured into the villages that surround us, and then something will be done. Then something will be accomplished. May the Lord add His blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 1044, it's a tune, St. Benedict, 885. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. Hymn 1044. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.